My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast. Conversation begins. I'm your host, Ryan Knightsey, and today we're sort of putting a primer together. It's December 2025. Obviously, the ballot was revealed for the 2025 Hall of Fame class. We did a whole episode last month about that with, of course, Fred Moreland and Adam Berger. So certainly go check that out. But I wanted to go through and do sort of a primer for the next season of this show, Hall of Fame season. Obviously, the proper season starts when the ballots, when the ballots officially get sent out. Probably September next year again. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll have more of that. But obviously, as you know, longtime listeners know, just any listener would know that here on this show, The Ballot, we are going to go through month by month, going through some of the newest people on the ballot. So new, this will be the first time on. And I guess I should address some of that because there's people obviously returning on this ballot. And there's people that have never gotten on before. And that's what this show is, obviously. Last season, we talked about all the new people that were on ballot for the first time. But, you know, there is like a portion of people that are more of a lightning rod, I guess, that people would like us to talk about. But I guess what I'm saying here is up top is, look, I'm going to be talking about the people this year, as I did this last year, as I did the year prior on Patreon, which is now free beyond the count on Patreon. It's all free. And I'll talk about that also momentarily. What the show does is that we talk about the new people that are on the ballot. And luckily this year that there was like 8, which means it gets us all the way up to August. So we do it once a month, as we have done in the past. And presuming Dave puts the ballot out in September again, that kind of works out quite well. Obviously there are other people that are returning to the ballot that, you know, you might want to have me discuss or bring a guest on to discuss. I'll say right up front, those people, if there are anyone, I guess I should say this. I'm all over the place to start off the show, and I apologize. But there are people returning to this ballot, and there are new people going to the ballot. This podcast, 100%, I can confirm, as long as I can guess, but I mean, obviously do my very best to get guests every single time, every single month, for all the new people. If there are any returnees, which the returnees are as follows: Dave Batista, Kane, Booker T, Dick Murdoch to a degree. I guess he counts as a returnee. Bill Dundee, I don't think he counts. But Dick Murdoch, I guess, counts. I don't know. Kyoko Inoue, the great Sasuke. And I believe, is there anyone non-wrestlers? I don't think there's anyone non-wrestlers. Yeah, so that's all the returnees. For any of those people, if they interest you or there's a big primetime guest that you want me to look out for, you know, I know in the last episode, Adam Berger's really wanting to do a Kane episode. So yeah, if people reach out to me and they really, really want to do an episode about any of those people I just named, the returnees, then I'll do a bonus episode about that person. But it's not going to be what the season is. The season is of the ballot about the newbies. It's always been about the newbies, and we're going to discuss those newbies. The newbies are, and this is in no particular order, this is just how I have in front of me, Gunther, a.k.a. Walter, Le Petit Prince, Colosso Colossetti, Tam Nakano, Andreas Lambrakis, Los Espantos, Kenta, and Tibor Zakas. We'll figure out how to say his name. We'll figure out how to pronounce everyone's names as well of this season as we did last season. So, yeah, I want to go through and do a primer, give a little bit of background. The newbies is who we're talking about this season. So I wanted to go through just, like, there's going to be people you obviously know. I think most people that are listening to the show know who Gunther is. They know who Kenta is. They probably know who Tam Nakano is. But there's five people on here that they probably don't, well, I guess more than five with Los Espantos. But, you know, there's five to seven people that I'm sure people do not know at all. And so that's part of the primer as well. We're going to discuss, you know, who these people are. I have, like, just short, like, a lot of people's Wikipedias up. So is Wikipedia the most sound thing? Who knows? But I'm going to just, you know, do a brief, like, overview of, like, this is who that person is. This is what we need to know. And yeah, and just do a little primer. Plus, additionally, once we set that primer up and go through the new names that are hitting the ballot next year, and obviously, if anyone new comes up, like Sabu, we'll address it, even though we. I'm also just going to set the table, I guess, for next season, just some ideas I have, a little bit teased in the last episode, but I'll talk about that as well. Maybe I should talk about that at top. I'll talk about that at top. I'll just do it right now. So I have wanted to do something like this in a way. So part of last season, what I greatly enjoyed, there were a couple bits that I greatly enjoyed from the 2025 season of discussion. I really liked the Sabu episode and putting that episode together and reaching out to people to contribute audio for that. And y'all listeners really enjoyed that as well. That was in the Spotify Wrapped. That was like the best episode of the season, most listened to episode of the season. It's not a shock. I mean, we also got the old flagship Joe Lanza bump, so I very, very much appreciate that. But, you know, people listened to it and people enjoyed it, and I think that I'm not at all saying that it contributes, but I think, you know, the fact that Sabu got in, and I, you know, maybe. I don't know. So I want to do more of that. I also liked Fred Moreland did something in his episode about FTR where he sort of he responded to, like, I think Scotty made a point on the Io Shirai episode and Fred responded to that point in his FTR episode. So I like that there's sort of a conversational piece, and I wanted to find a way to continue that and also continue ways for people to, like, contribute audio if they so want. And obviously, I cannot do that every single time. I think, like, in some ways, people react maybe online or to me about the episodes, but I would love to direct that in a certain way. You know, I'm batting around ideas of Discord and all that stuff, but, you know, I think there's generally a lot of other forums and Discords that have a lot of Hall of Fame stuff already, so I'm batting around the idea. But what I really like is I'm always looking for a guest for the show that can be the sort of yin to my yang, that if I don't know anything about, let's say, Le Petit Prince, I barely know much of anything about French wrestling French catch wrestling, as we discussed last season, whatever. So someone like Phil Lyons coming on and being extremely knowledgeable and me at least doing enough research to guide a conversation, that's my goal. My goal is I'm always doing research on all these people. Sometimes I'm maybe leading the conversation if I'm, you know, more knowledgeable. Sometimes sometimes you just got to let people talk that are extremely knowledgeable like that, like Phil Lyons regarding French catch wrestling. So, and my goal is always to get like a guest that is really good, but there's also always other guests that I'm looking for. And I also appreciate like listening to other people's opinions and thoughts. And I would love to sort of react to that in any way. So that all being said, I have put together a hotline for you, the listener, to call. It can be about your, you know, if it's, let's say we're doing an episode on Gunther and you have a lot of takes and you want to give a call to the hotline, leave a voicemail, and we'll play it on air in a sort of bonus episode at some point. That's the goal. If I get enough of these, if this works, that's the goal. So I do have a hotline together. If you have an opinions or you have a reaction, you have comments to make about someone, what something I said or the guest said, just sort of like your reaction to it. It can even be, you know, the hotline's available right now. It can even be about this episode right now. Do you have opinions on any of these people, any of these newbies that we're discussing? You know, just preliminary thoughts without, maybe you haven't done a lot of research. Maybe you have, I don't know. But any prelim thoughts could be fun. Or I say something about a wrestler, you're like, oh, no, Ryan, that's out of whack. Give us a call in. I'd love to hear it and love to react. And I think giving more voice to the listeners could be good. Because, you know, and I'm still going to react to each voicemail as well. I'm going to play it on the air and then react. That's my plan, but in sort of bonus episode sort of quality. But I'm hoping to use that as an expansion to get more podcast content, hate that word, out to you, because this is like a monthly show. So it's like, how else can I get more out here? So I do have a hotline together. There is I would love to hear your thoughts, love to hear your opinions on all this stuff. The hotline is 9495-BALLOT. That's right. Hotline number 9495-BALLOT. What that is 949-522-5568. Again, 949-522-5568. 9495-BALLOT. That is, of course, going to be in the description below, wherever you're listening to this audio. So, yeah, give that call to the hotline. Leave a voicemail. Talk about, like, maybe some of the people here that we're going to talk about. Like, hey, I'd love to learn more about this. Or look, if you have like any questions, that could also be played on the actual episode. Let's say you have a big old question regarding Los Espantos or something, and I can hopefully get some sort of lucha historian on, and there's stuff that you want to learn and want to know about. You know, beat me to the punch. Do my freaking job and ask these questions. I think that's also useful. Whatever you're thinking, whether it be reactions or comments or questions, I want to hear them. Again, 9495-BALLOT. Let's get to the actual meat of the bone here, which is the primer for this season of the ballot. I've just put together some small little bits here from various Wikipedias just to discuss, just to, you know, let people know, hey, this is who we're talking about. So we'll start off with this man who may or may not be rest of the world or modern. I imagine he's modern U.S. and Canada, and that is, of course, Gunther, a.k.a. Volter. Obviously it could be rest of the world just because he has a good portion of his career in the Europe, rest of the world region. That being said, though, I mean, I kind of feel like it's going to be in modern. He's one of the split guys. Plus, it's also this thing of, like, and I'm recording this, I don't know if Dave has clarified yet. I don't think Dave has. But it's also this thing of, like, look, am I going to be comparing Steve Gray to Gunther? You know, guys that worked 30 to 40 years apart? No, that's insanity. Guys from the 50s, 60s, 70s, we can't do this. It's got to be modern U.S. and Canada at the very least. So I'm very interested to see how Gunther is. He is 38 years old, so he could have been on this ballot a little bit earlier. Dave finally puts him on here for the first time. Walter Hahn, this is from his Wikipedia, an Austrian professional wrestler. Of course, I'm sure everyone knows a lot about this guy already, but I'll say it anyways. He is signed to WWE, where he performs on the Raw brand under the ring name Gunther. Nickname Der Ring General, his wrestling gimmick sees him follow a stiff wrestling style, which has been inspired by the likes of Stan Hansen, Big Van Vader, and Kenta Kobashi, and a philosophy signified by the motto, the mat is sacred. Han first became known under the ring name Big Van Valter, Big Daddy Valter, and simply Valter, sometimes written in all caps, during his tenure in Germany with WXW and various German independent promotions. Early in his career, he competed in Japan for Big Japan Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling 01 under the Big Van Valter gimmick. In WXW, he became a three-time Unified World Wrestling Champion and a four-time WXW World Tag Team Champion. He's one of the promotion's most respected figures throughout his tenure, leading him to become the head trainer of the WXW Wrestling Academy from 2015 to 2020. He also became a popular figure on the British, Irish, and American independent circuits, competing in promotions such as Progress, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and OTT, where he held their respective world championships between 2018 and 2019. In November of 2018, Han signed with WWE as Valter and was assigned to the NXT UK brand. United Kingdom, we know about that. He soon won the NXT UK Championship and held it for 870 days, the longest reign for the now defunct title and the eighth overall longest singles title reign for any WWE Championship. I didn't know that fact. That's kind of crazy. In January 2020, he moved to the NXT brand where his ring name was changed to Gunther. He moved to the just Gunther. No other last name. He moved to the main roster on the SmackDown brand 3 months later, where he won the WWE Intercontinental Championship once, holding it for 666 days, sign of the devil, to set the record for both the longest singular reign of the title and the most cumulative days as champion, as well as the 10th longest singles championship reign of any WWE title. After losing at WrestleMania 40, he won the 23rd King of the Ring tournament and the World Heavyweight Championship two times. Yeah, so that's a lot about Gunther. It's a lot about Valter. Guy that blew up on the Euro scene, became champion, basically head of the champion in practically every promotion he ended up being in. Eventually went to WWE. They pushed him significantly. His style didn't really change all too much. You know, maybe a little bit softer, but like not to an nth degree like a lot of other people. Had the title for an extremely long time, went to SmackDown, had the IC title for an extremely long time, had the World Heavyweight Championship. Like, no, there's this thing of wherever he is pushed, he gets pushed to the top. That is what Valter is and does. So I'm very interested to see and talk about more about Valter. So we'll, of course, talk about more of him later on the show. Let's talk about Le Petit Prince. Now, this guy doesn't have a Wikipedia. And I imagine if you want to get more information, you'll have to be on one of Phil Lyons' dossiers. Look, and I'll be honest, I haven't asked him yet, but I'm good 100% asking Phil Lyons to come back on the show and discuss Le Petit Prince. I have to imagine this was a guy that he pushed for. I know he talked about him a lot on the audio we did about J. Barely Duke last year. So I wouldn't be shocked. I'm gonna reach out to Phil. Unless there's somebody that is a massive Le Petit Prince guy. I don't know. So I'm looking at a pro wrestling forum, prowrestlingonly.com forum, just to see what some people are saying about him, just to get some ideas. Now, this guy, this is from someone wrote down that user Jetlag said, quote, "If there's one French wrestler that everyone should check out, it's the Little Prince, an absolute mind-blowing athletic wrestler who did stuff in his matches nobody in the world now can pull off half as cleanly. Makes the most agile luchadors look flat-footed. What's most important is he was also a tremendous babyface who always sells and works hard to have competitive matches. Looks great from the 60s up to the 80s. Apparently he's also had some TV matches in Britain. One person said watching his matches was how tape traders must have felt in the 80s watching Tiger Mask and 90s with Mysterio Jr. He was a complete worker, a tremendous babyface, a brilliant seller, and had a fantastic series of tags, six-mans, and singles. That are the high spot of 70s catch." I'm having a tough time finding a lot about him. I imagine I'll get a lot more. Maybe I should have put up Lyons's dossier here, but I didn't. I was looking for something a little bit smaller. I know he has probably a lot written about Le Petit Prince, but ultimately this guy is a massive star in the French scene. Not a main event star, but sort of a special attraction star. As a lightweight, you know, not a cruiserweight, not a light heavyweight, but a pure lightweight. Basically, he's a great worker. That's what it is. Just look up any French TV match from the 60s and 70s. You'll get it. And, you know, that's a conversation piece that we've had last year about a couple other people in the rest of the world region, as we are in the rest of the world region right now discussing people. So, yeah, I think great workers, great and all. I think it can get you somewhere in the conversation. I think any of these newbies coming onto the rest of the world region is going to have a tough time, especially this year. So Le Petit Prince, I think, is going to have a very tough time. It's going to be a similar conversation about with Gilbert Le Duc, is that we just probably don't have a whole lot of information about him. It's about uncovering that and working on that. I'm sure Phil Lyons is already working on it. So I'm excited to talk more about Le Petit Prince down the line. Let's continue in rest of the world. Andreas Lambrakis, a professional wrestler from Greece, billed as a former, quote, Greek heavyweight champion. He was active in Australia during the 50s and 60s and also competed in the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. Yeah, this guy was in WWF. He was a mentor to the new and upcoming Greek wrestler who would famously be called Spiros Arion, who just became a Hall of Famer, who at the start of his career billed himself as the son of Lambrakis. In 1964, he scored several significant wins in Toronto. That's what this says. It says he was a one-time Greek heavyweight champion and a one-time European heavyweight champion as well. So yes, this guy, Greek wrestler, seemingly maybe trained. It says, just says mentor, but maybe trained Hall of Fame Spiros Arion. That's pretty significant. So much so that Arion, you know, when he originally was wrestling, he was under the name Lambrakis. I believe I read a piece in the Observer that said when Andreas Lambrakis died, people thought Arion died because of those similar name stories, I guess. But this was the original Lambrakis, one of the biggest pro wrestling stars to ever come from Greece, according to Dave. That was that story that it's one of the biggest wrestling stars, but not as big as Arion, because when Andreas died, everyone thought Arion died. So yeah, there's maybe historical significance conversation there, how he does on the worldwide stage. Footage is very light. I've only seen one match of his on YouTube, and it was a match against, was it Gorgeous George, I want to say. So that's going to be tough, and I wasn't too impressed. I mean, it was a Gorgeous George match, and it was very much worked like a George match. So couldn't get a lot from that. So this is a guy that a lot of research is going to have to be done. So we're going to need a skilled European, worldwide, actually international, because obviously worked in Australia for several decades. So this is going to be a lot of work for this guy. So hopefully we'll see more. And again, rest of the world region, going to be tough for anyone. Why is it tough for anyone? We talked about it a little bit in the last episode, but it's because I believe three people are on the 1550 period in rest of the world. I want to say it was Dominic DiNucci. I want to say it was, oh, who was it? I want to say it was DiNucci. I want to say it was it Torres? Oh boy. Maybe Joyce? No, I don't feel confident in any of these names. I just know DiNucci. I should know this off the top of my head, and this is embarrassing. Here, I'll pull it up real quick. Killer Carl Cox, Dominic DiNucci, and Billy Joyce. So we got three people in the 1550 period for next year, and we're bringing on three people that are just, you know, that's tough. That's tough. One person going in, one person falling off, three people hitting 1550, three people coming on as well. It's going to be tough. I don't expect all three of those 1550 guys to go in at all. Killer Carl Cox, extremely low on the ballot, so yeah, we'll see how, I guess, really DiNucci and Joyce do. But let's talk about the third guy that's a newbie in rest of the world region to talk about, Tibor Zakis. Again, we'll figure out how to pronounce this guy's name. Tibor. I want to say Tibor. I've heard people say Tibor, but I want to say Tibor. Born in 1928, was a Hungarian army officer and wrestler, best known for his career in British wrestling. He was a refugee from Hungary from the 1956 uprisings. Zakis, an amateur wrestler of some note, joined up with Joint Promotions and had a lifelong connection to them. In his first professional contest, he battled Billy Joyce, speaking of, in Ramsgate, and gained instant reputation as a no-nonsense wrestler, noted for being dour and never smiling during his matches, and fast grimacing most of the time. McDonald's would love him. He quickly became a favorite of his classically trained abilities, his skillful holds and counter holds and suplexes. He's also known as a specialist in suplexes, backhand chops, and flying tackles. So it just feels like a wrestler's wrestler. a man's man. He held the record for winning the prestigious Royal Albert Hall Tournament Trophy. He on the oh god, he this is from a prowrestling.fandom.com website. It's terrible. Grammatical errors all over the place. He won the tournament 5 times and was at least once awarded the trophy by HRH Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. He was prevented from winning it the 6th time by Bruno Ellington. Basically, skilled, they say heavyweight, but this guy does not look like a heavyweight. Maybe light heavyweight. Singles competitor, but was also noted for his tag team work. He often partnered with Steve Vidor or his brother Peter, but his most notable tag team appearance was with Henry Perlot against Court Bartelli and Kendo Nakasaki in 1966. Later that year, he had a solo bout against Nakasaki, during which he sustained an injury to one of his eyes that left him blind in it, and his career never recovered. Towards the end of his career, he was used further and further down the card in matches against such characters as the Belly Butt Brigade. What? Because he lacked the exposure of the like of McManus, Nakasaki, etc., and promoters didn't know how to use his skills effectively. Oh my god, what? Yeah, so we'll talk about D-Vor at some point. That's fun. that's a fun fact, I feel. The Belly Butt Brigade. We'll certainly talk about them some more. But yeah, basically, great worker. People say no charisma. Some people say that's too harsh. It might not necessarily be no charisma. He just wasn't smiling. He was, again, a no-nonsense guy. So yeah, some people, you know, there's some headlining stuff. There's never a headliner on his own. He's like one of that guys, potentially. Not saying a Kane type, but like, you know, he has a good drawing power, but also some people say it's because he was wrestling with people that were bigger names. So we'll get more into that. I've already done a little bit of research on him, so I'm excited to see how that all goes. So we'll see how we get about Tibor. Let's move over to Mexico. This is the guy I've been doing a lot of research about recently. You know, much like Ted Boy last year, not to say that this guy's going to be up first, but just like Ted Boy last year, I've been just having a lot of research on this guy for whatever reason. Colosso Colasetti. This is Elio Carlo Colasetti Drazic, born in 1948. He was an Argentinian professional wrestler who is primarily known under the ring name Colosso Colasetti. He wrestled primarily in Mexico and Southern California and also Texas. Asia and Europe, and retired in the late 1990s. So that was pretty much short, but basically he is from Argentina. He traveled through South America, Central America, and then went to Mexico where he worked under EMLL. He had a big time feud with Rey Mendoza to win the NWA World Light Heavyweight Championship. And from there he kind of worked on top of a lot of other people. He worked on top in, what was it, the 80s? Late 80s? I want to say late 80s, where he would work on top and, you know, he would work with guys like Tiger Jeet Singh or Mil Máscaras or Andre the Giant other big names, other big famous Mexican names. He went to Japan where he tagged with Andre the Giant against various big-time Japanese guys. So he is all over the place, not necessarily a big-time star, but maybe more of that Kane type of not necessarily a big-time star, but he's in the picture, and so there is like definitely like drawing stuff to his name, but oftentimes he's playing fourth wheel to like three other massive stars like Mil Máscaras or Andre the Giant. So there's that. It's that aspect to his case. His wrestling ability, I cannot wait to talk about it. I have opinions. I have opinions about this guy's wrestling ability. So we'll talk about him, of course, when we talk about Mexico, which we didn't do at all last year. We did do an episode with the Club Lucha guys, Foose and Floak, last year about Los Infernales. We only did one, so this year we're going to get two. Obviously, Colasetti, but also another trio, Los Espantos, sometimes referred to as Los Hermanos Espantos. These guys weren't actually brothers, but they are a stable. The original Espantos team consisted of Espanto 1, who was Jose Bernal, and Espanto 2, which is Fernando Carrillo, but later expanded to a trio when Espanto 3, Miguel Bernal, the younger brother of Espanto 1, I guess they are brothers, joined the group. They primarily worked as a rudo faction for EMLL and on the Mexican Independent Circuit. As a team, Espanto 1 and 2 held the Mexican National Tag Team Championship, and Espanto 2 and 3 held the Northern Mexican Tag Team Championship. The team of Espanto 1 and Espanto 2 are considered among the best rudo teams in the history of Lucha Libre. Now, that's not... Now, that's interesting. I assume Dave is doing the trio. But is he doing the trio or the tag team? I'm just thinking of this now. I would presume the trio. But the thing that often gets cited that I've seen about Los Espantos, when you see mention of them being like... Lucha World did a listing of the 10 greatest tag teams in Lucha Libre history. Number 6 was Los Espantos. But that's tag teams. And the rest of this list are just a teams of two, not trios. So I wonder if actually Dave is doing the duo or the trio. Because that's interesting. Because that really puts a wrench in the whole, like, people talking about, like, if it's the trio, you only looking at the time as the trio, which would make this way shorter and probably less impactful. But are you looking at just the tag team of 1 and 2? Are you looking at everything? That is actually, I just thought of that, and that is interesting. I imagine at least 1 and 2 would be the importance part here. In the mid-1980s, a new generation of Espantos, I don't think we really need to care about this. Just know that there were 4 and 5, both sons of Espanto 3, and with the emergence of Espanto Jr., who was not related to any of the previous Espanto members, but was given permission to use the name. So yeah, there's a bunch of more Espantos out there, but... they are and aren't related, just like they are and aren't related in the original trio. So we'll talk about them. We'll talk about sort of the tragedy as well of the ending of this team and what kind of happened there. But I'm excited to get into Los Espantos and talk about more of them later down the line. Over in Japan, to close things off, we'll talk about Tam Nakano, Yuri Tauchi. Born March 22nd, 1988, better known by her ring name Tam Nakano, is a Japanese retired professional wrestler and idol. Yes, she retired already. One of the reasons, I guess, Dave's age group, age listing works is because she's already retired. So keep it young, because if we bumped it up to 40, we're not going to be talking about her for another 3 years. And maybe that would hurt her case. I don't know. Anyways, she's best known for her work, obviously, in Stardom. Nakano began her career as an idol for Actress Girls in 2015 and made her debut as a professional wrestler the following year. She left her promotion in 2017 and began working for FMW, really, Stardom as a freelancer, officially signing with Stardom later that year. In Stardom, along with Mina Shirakawa and Inagi Sayaka, she founded and led the Cosmic Angels stable until her retirement. She went on to become a 2-time World of Stardom Champion, 2-time Wonder of Stardom Champion, 1-time Goddesses of Stardom Champion, and 4-time Artist of Stardom Champion. Nakano also won the 2019 Goddesses of Stardom Tag League and received the 2023 Tokyo Sports Women's Wrestling Grand Prize. So yeah, she basically, if I recall correctly, has only wrestled for like a decade. I think it's about actually 9 years. So I don't necessarily know if she fully qualifies. When did she made her debut in 2016? Oh boy, made her debut in 2016. And then when did she retire? In 2014, 2025, right? 2025. So is that 9 years? 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. 2021, 22, 23, 24, 25. Oh, okay, that's 10 years, I guess. So just made it 10 years on the dot. Maybe not on the dot, but 10 years. So yeah, we'll talk about Tam Nakano. Obviously, you know, small career, but the question is a small career that going to be that mighty? She's not going to have that longevity, mostly because also the bulk of her career really explodes once Rossi leaves Stardom, and she is sort of, you know, pinpointed. I know Scotty's mentioned about it as sort of like the Rushmore of Stardom, Mount Rushmore. He puts Tam Nakano in there. And I think what's interesting about it as the years go on without her, and Saya Kamatani continues to do well without her, you know, and part of the explosion was with Tam and Saya, you know, how much we're going to give Tam. I'm interested for the conversation. I'm probably bringing back Scotty more than likely. I know he's already said yes. So we're going to bring back Scotty. Maybe we'll bring back another third person, not Trent, but maybe someone else to discuss Tam. We'll talk about it. But at the very least, Scotty's coming back to discuss Tam Nakano. Short, but is it sweet? Or rather, Hall of Fame worthy. And finally, a guy that people have been clamoring for I don't know how long, but for a while, Kenta Kobayashi. He's finally on the ballot in Japan. No one obviously is Kenta, born 1981. He is signed to Pro Wrestling Noah, where he's a former two-time GHC heavyweight champion, a former amateur kickboxer. Kobayashi's wrestling style is based upon strong kicks and strikes. Kobayashi pioneered both the go-to-sleep and Busaku knee kick finisher maneuvers, later popularized by CM Punk and Bryan Danielson, obviously both Hall of Famers. Kobayashi started his career in All Japan before moving to Pro Wrestling Noah. Through Noah's involvement in the Global Professional Wrestling Alliance, a global organization of cooperative promotions that allow the competitors to travel, blah, 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 blah. He has wrestled extensively in American promotion Ring of Honor. In Noah, he was a one-time GHC Heavyweight Champion, three-time GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion, three-time GHC Heavyweight Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champion, and one-time GHC Heavyweight Tag Team Champion. He's also the winner of the 2012 and 2013 Global League Tag League Tournaments. No, the 2012 Global League, which is now the N1 Victory, and the 2013 Global Tag League. He is well known for his 10-year American promotion WWE. Yes, well known, where he worked under the name Hideo Itami in the company's developmental territory NXT, and later in the year Cruiserweight exclusive brand 205 Live. Yes, well known for his work in 205 Live. 2019, he departed from WWE, and in May appeared in New Japan, announcing his participation in that year's G1 Climax, and aligned with former tag partner Katsuya Shibata. He turned on Shibata and joined the Bullet Club, and has since held the Strong Openweight Championship twice, the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles, Never Openweight Championship, and the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship once each. He silently departed from New Japan in January of 2025, and returned to Pro Wrestling Noah the following month, where he is today. Where he obviously then became heavyweight champion, GHC heavyweight champion once more. So yeah, a lot to discuss with Kenta. Big, long career here. All Japan, Noah, great run in Noah, great run in Ring of Honor. WWE happens, comes back to New Japan. An all right, fine run. You know, he wins championships and he's like a guy, but like he is not in that next gear. And then he's back in Noah where he feels like he fits a little bit better. So it'll be a very much interesting conversation. I have very much people in mind for this guest, or a guest in mind for this guy. So I can't wait to discuss Kenta because I think a lot of people really want Kenta in the Hall of Fame and see him as a big discussion point. So I'm interested to see how this will all go with Kenta, especially heading into the Japan region. I don't necessarily know how Tam Nakano is going to do. I imagine Kenta is going to do really well. Obviously, Zack Sabre Jr. hoovered up all the votes in the Japan region this year. But there's hopefully, you know, we're adding a billion people, if I'm not mistaken, into it. Obviously, Tam Nakano and Kenta, but also Great Sasuke is returning, Kyoko Inoue. So four people are getting added. I want to say you have five votes in Japan now. So yeah, I imagine there's a good chance someone from Japan is going to go in next year, maybe two. But I imagine Kenta might have a really strong debut on the ballot, and maybe Sasuke as well. So that could be an interesting if someone volunteers to discuss that episode. Let me know. Leave a voicemail 9495 ballot. And I'll let you know. And I guess also give me contact info about that as well. Have I done a I don't think I've left a voicemail inbox message. I should probably figure that out before I publish this episode. But yeah, that is everyone. That's all the newbies. Those are the people we're going to be discussing. I have already done some preliminary research. I know that there are people that have already reached out to me that have pitched guests. That I have, obviously, with Tam Nakano, Scotty, already booked guests. There are people that reach out to me that have expressed interest in being on the show. I just have to turn around with them with this list and say, hey, look, buddy, is there any of these people that you have interested in. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of people that we have to discuss, a lot of rest of the world people. This show has always been a need to both talk about new people on the ballot, but like modern people like Gunther and Kenta and Tam Nakano that people all know, but also learn a thing or two about a bunch of people that, look, you might not know, right? Like Petit Prince, like Colasetti, like Lambrakis, like Espantos, like Tibor. So, yeah, this has always been the impetus of the show, is to both do the research and think about these guys all year, you know, go out and watch some matches of them, but also to learn some more about the world of professional wrestling and what makes a great wrestler, right? What makes a great wrestler? I think there's a lot of great wrestlers, but ultimately, I guess what makes a Hall of Famer is the question we always set out to answer. So I appreciate everyone listening to this primer episode of The Ballot. Again, leave us a voicemail if you have any comments or comments, complaints, or whatever about this primer, or if you're excited, if you have any good well wishes, any people you would love to hear be on the show or anything at all, leave us a voicemail, 9495-BALLOT. Again, 949-522-5568. Okay, well, I guess that's it. The other thing I wanted to say is that, so I said earlier that patreon.com/CannotPod, that Cannot Wrestling Network used to have a Patreon. It didn't quite go well, but there's a lot of audio on there. Of a lot of different episodes of various projects that I worked on, for sure. So there's, if you want a lot more bonus audio from me, all of it's free on the Patreon, and the entire first season of The Ballot is on there. That's where we talked about guys like Kevin Steen, like Sami Zayn, El Generico, like Cody Rhodes, because that was when his first year on The Ballot was, you know, that 2024 season of The Ballot. But there's a lot of other people we discussed as well. So you can go check that out. Kento Miyahara, we did an episode about him. So I eventually want to move those names, those episodes, onto this public feed of The Ballot. I think if you may have noticed that I've labeled every episode last season as a season two, perhaps. I don't know if anyone noticed or if it even shows up. But there is a season one. You can currently listen to all of it for free on patreon.com/CannotPod. Or it should be free. I believe I set it up as free. But I intend to eventually start throwing in some of those episodes on this main feed. Starting with, you're hearing this on the 10th, I believe, of December, the day it came out. If you're listening to this on the day it came out, next week I'll upload the Zack Sabre Jr. episode, which was, embarrassingly, the very first episode of The Ballot I recorded. You'll notice that it's very different format. The entire first season was a very different format of the show. It was updated to what something I like better now. And very much getting my bearings and getting my footing discussing the Hall of Fame with Curtis Spears was my guest, one half the host of Ichiban Sweetcast. So I'll have that uploaded next week. I'm uploading him first because not only was it the first episode, and you can hear my most embarrassing thoughts and takes. Well, not embarrassing thoughts and takes, because I'm very positive on him. But just more of like embarrassing, like, oh, God, this is such beginning stuff. But also because he's the only guy from that first season that's still on the ballot. Everyone either fell off, like Bray Wyatt or Kento or Steen and Generico, or they got in like Cody. So we didn't discuss every single person in that ballot because I didn't get enough people and get enough stuff, but I'll slowly upload those to the feed, starting with Zack Sabre Jr. next week here on this feed. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for those bonus episodes. Leave us a voicemail, 9495-BALLOT. And next month, starting in January, we'll be discussing the potential Hall of Fame career for any of these 8-plus wrestlers. 8 acts. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this month's episode of The Ballot. We'll be back next month with an all-new wrestler, an all-new career, and an all-new guest. Until then, goodbye, everyone. Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Countout Network. This has been a Countout Podcast.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now, you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.